Greetings to each one in Jesus' precious holy name this evening. It's a privilege to be in the house of God, to be instructed in the Word of God, like we heard already this evening. Appreciated the thoughts that were shared on developing personal vision. There was a comment he made at the start, kind of inspired me. It says, see the future like God sees it. You know, that just blessed me as I think about that. Looking at life, looking ahead, looking at the future. How many of us get ourselves all in the way too many times? You know, as you look ahead, I try to balance church, family, making a living, and getting to heaven all in life. And it seems like too many times I just get myself all in the way. But try to see the future like God sees it. You know, that just blessed me as I thought about that. And now in considering inspiring vision in others. And I guess I must admit, the last couple weeks, I have struggled with this thought. As I looked at the Word of God, as I meditated, as I studied, prayed. Because as I consider looking or inspiring vision in others, there's some things I still don't understand. I guess I'll just be honest with you. And with that lack of knowledge and understanding, I guess I feel in one way inadequate to be here. But I trust by the grace of God, God has something for us this evening. As looking at inspiring vision in others. And I guess one of the reasons as I think about this, and I appreciate the brother that shared developing that personal vision, looking at the Word of God, having that relationship with God. But now, how are you going to tell somebody else to do that? That's my question that keeps burning in my head. How do we, especially as leaders in a sense, inspire what we have to someone else? Because the temptation is strong, I believe, too many times that the vision we have, we think we've got it figured out in a way. You know, we have an idea of where we're going and we just automatically think everybody else does too. You know, that's something that I have found that's almost universal in a sense, in our humanistic nature. And I guess that's a part of my struggle. As I look at inspiring vision in others, the Word of God, I'm not going to say it doesn't say anything about it. But a lot of it has to do with understanding our human nature and who we are as people. Now, the Word of God has a lot to talk about us as people. So I'm not saying it's not in here. But I'd like to begin there in Proverbs 29, verse 18. It talks about, it was read, where there is no vision, the people perish. It goes on to say, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And as it was mentioned, without a vision, we die. We perish. But with that thought of perishing, how many of you want to die without a vision? Where are you going to go if you die without a vision? If we perish without one. Do you ever think about that? So the thought is, we must have a vision if we intend to get to the destination that I believe we're all striving to get to. Because the thought here is, if you don't have it, you're not going to get there. So vision is vitally important, I believe. So let's, in a sense, try to see if we can understand vision just a little bit. Some of these thoughts may overlap a little bit with what the brother shared earlier. But there's one definition in looking up in the dictionary. It says the faculty or state of being able to see. Well, that's kind of a no-brainer. We all have eyes, I understand. I don't know of a blind person here. I'm not saying there's not. But we have what we call vision. You go to the eye doctor to check your vision. How good is it? And then also we have the definition of seeing something in a dream or a trance. Now, Saul on the Damascus Road When that bright light shone down and he fell on his face before Jesus Christ, it says that he was, I don't think it says in that point necessarily, but later it talks about he was in a trance because the people around him seen the light but didn't hear the voice, we understand. Later he went on, went to Damascus, was led by the hand because he was blind. He didn't have any more vision. And then also Ananias had a vision, God telling him to go free Paul. So you see, a vision is also a dream or something that can, I believe God can I be honest enough to say, I think God can work through some of those ways today even. But I think we do well to be careful with those things. The another definition, a mental image of what the future will be or could be like. That's getting a little closer home. Another one is the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. And I think that's a little bit more where we're headed this evening. And I believe that's what the ones that put this together possibly had more in mind. But thinking of our eyes, our vision, what we see. In Matthew 15:14 and Luke 6:39, it talks about Jesus was talking about the blind leading the blind. Where do they end up at? In the ditch. So how much good are we going to do if we all end up in the ditch? Going back to the point that if we don't have vision, we're going to end up in the ditch. So that gets back to the first message. Learn to develop personal vision for yourself. Because my friends, if you don't develop personal vision for yourself, you will not and cannot pass it on to someone else. Because you cannot pass on something that you do not have. You know, if I have a pen, and we call this vision, I can give it to somebody, and he can take it, and he has it. But thinking of vision is something that is, lay the pen down, now what do I have? I have nothing. Well, vision is a lot the same way. It's not something that's tangible that you can put your hands on, but you can see the effects of it or the lack thereof it. It's kind of like the wind. You can see it blowing, you can see it moving things around, but you can't see it. Well, vision is a similar thing. So I like to think, vision is futuristic, part of that definition we looked at. So therefore, many times, it's idealistic. Vision, what you perceive, what you would like to be, is idealistic many times. Now, I'm not saying it is in every case and in every circumstance, but for the most part, I believe it is. So many times with our vision being idealistic, too many times I feel we have a hard time to take that idealistic vision and put it into realistic action. Rare is the man that I, if I can say it that way, that knows how to balance both. To have a godly vision and a direction in life and put it into practical everyday shoe leather. When you attain that perfection, I want to sit at your feet and learn. But it's a growing experience, I believe. It's growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So therefore, as you consider that, vision not being a tangible thing as such. Many times we get mixed signals from individuals that are promoting a vision by the life that they're living. It's a mixed signal. Because what is being said, what is being portrayed is not being acted upon. The plan of action for that vision is not being carried out. So therefore, what do you do? What do you get? Or how inspiring is that for those looking on? It's not very. Actions of our everyday life are reality. And that reality needs to reflect the vision that we're endeavoring to portray. It does. So in order to inspire vision, we must have a realistic view of it. In order to inspire vision, you must have a realistic view of it and or also know how to implement it. How are you going to get there? You know, it may be a step-by-step process, and I don't have those necessarily broken down because I believe those vary by individuals. But I believe there are some things and ways that we can learn as we go through life. But we must know how to implement it. And I had to think of Daniel. And a brother also looked at that verse in Daniel 1, verse 8. He says, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Where did that purpose come from? You stop and think about that. It talks about how they were taken out of captivity, or taken into captivity, taken into the land of Babylon, and put under dire circumstances or extreme circumstances for where they come from, in a way, in the king's palace. And these were some good boys. But yet Daniel had a purpose. Do you think he got that when he got to Babylon? I don't think so. But somewhere in back behind there, Daniel purposed in his heart long before he got there, I believe. So guess what? I feel Daniel had a vision of what might come. And he prepared himself for that difficult time if it comes. If when I get to this point in life and I am tempted with this thing, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to share with you a personal vision of mine that goes right along with this point. As we look at our world today, especially our Anabaptist circles, and we look at our churches, and I trust y'all don't have a problem with this, but it seems like I see so many times that there are divisions and splits. Churches have a hard time getting along, and it seems like so many times there are two sides, which I don't like, and I don't believe God does either. But yet in our humanistic ways of thinking, we have two different ditches so many times, and a church splits. There is something that I have about vowed I will not do. And one reason I'm sharing this with you this evening is for you to keep me accountable if I'm ever tempted in this place, which is a part of inspiring vision in others. Think about that. Get to that a little bit later. But as I look at that, in a sense, I have purposed in my heart that I will never be involved in a church split. If the congregation that I am a part of comes to that point where the brethren cannot get along and there is a division, I will endeavor to quietly, godly as possible, remove myself from the situation, go to some place where I can worship. You know, think about that. That's something I have played over and over in my mind. When I get to that point, it's not about sides. It's about serving God. It's about getting to glory someday, reaping the reward for faithful service here, not about choosing sides of which way you're going to go. It's a purpose, I trust, that I can fulfill if I'm ever tempted in that. So in consideration of this, and I mentioned it earlier, I think, you cannot pass on or inspire vision in others unless you have it yourself. So think about that. I just shared with something with you. Now you have it. But guess what? I cannot force you to take it. Only you can receive it and do something with it, whether you reject it or not. That's your choice. So the thing about that is, I'm thinking I'm getting ahead of myself there a little bit. You cannot give something you don't have. Talk about that vision not being a tangible thing. Another thing, share your vision. How do we share our vision? Remember, it's that intangible thing. I can give you that pen. Man, write vision on it. Now you all of a sudden have vision called the pen. But how do others know what your vision is unless you talk about it? You ever think about that? How many times have you heard your father or grandfather talk about the vision that he had when he was a young child? I hope y'all have. But as I look back across my life, yeah, there were times that, you know, we had good conversations. And I believe sometimes vision is taught in ways that, okay, I'm not necessarily thinking this is vision now. I believe that. Vision is taught, I think, in everyday life, in as we discuss things. But I think it's important, as I think about this, and as I studied this, I was convicted myself that I don't think I share a vision enough in a verbal way, either one-on-one or to the congregation. How good would it do if you as leaders would someday decide and go to your congregation and say, look, where are you headed? Ask your brother, you know, what is your vision for the church? What is your vision? How are you endeavoring to get to eternity? What do you think their response would be? So the challenge or the point I'd like to lay before you, is it a point for leaders of congregations to get their congregation together and say, look, let's get something together here. I want to hear what your vision is. How do you intend to get there? Because guess what? If we don't do that and we're constantly preaching and teaching, what are they going to go on? If they're not developing personal vision, they're just going by yours in a sense. And I believe it's well that our people develop their own visions outside of us as leaders. But unless we lead them to developing their own visions, how are we going to do that? How are they going to get to that point? That's a challenge I'd like to lay before you in that. Do you share your vision with others? And with that, there's a thought that has gone through my mind. I enjoy relationships, working with people. And I can get fairly vocal sometimes with individuals, especially those that I know well. As we get discussing the Word of God, or we get discussing life, how do you do this? How do you handle this situation? And there's more than one time that I shared a prelude to a message that was building in my mind. And I think that's valuable in a sense, as I've heard reports later. Well, it's good to know that. It's good to know where you're going before you share that on Sunday morning. I got more out of it. And I'm thinking, you know, is that something that we're missing? That we as leaders, and I felt this way before too, don't get me wrong, don't want to share what we have to share to anyone else until we get up Sunday morning, because we think that if they already know where I'm going with this, they're not going to receive it and they're not going to like it. That's what I believe, that's a tool of the devil in a sense. Because learning, for most of us, a lot of us, comes by repetition. Therefore, I think it's valuable. If you find yourself in a situation discussing something with a brother, and there's been something on your mind, share it with him. And I have found myself already coming to a situation like that, and I know I'm getting ready to preach a message similar to that, and I'm almost like, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to talk about that right now. How right is that? Now remember, I'm talking to myself. And the more I study this, the more I think about inspiring vision in others, the more you can plant those seeds of truth, the greater, I think, the chances of them sprouting and growing. Inspiring vision in others. In thinking about that, vision, many times, is born and grown. As you think about inspiring others, vision is born and then grows. Let me ask you this. Do you have the same vision you have today? The vision that's driving and motivating you in life, is it the same today as it was 20 years ago? I'd say if it is, be careful lest thee perish. Because I believe God would have us to grow those visions. Have us sharpen them, bring them down, tighten them up, and line them out for where He would have us to go. Grow them. Meditate on them. Pursue them. As you share your vision with others, many times it motivates you to carry forth that vision as it does inspires them to go on. As you plant that seed, many times it motivates you to get that vision done. Because just like I share with you the vision of when I get to that point, guess what? If I ever get to that point, I'm liable to think back to here and say, look, if I choose a side here and go with one side or the other, guess what? I've got a lot of people here that are going to wonder where in the world I'm at. Helping you, motivating you to make the correct choice. There's one note of caution here. As you work with people, as you share and inspire vision in others, many times that is going to be reciprocated. Many times. Sharing, talking about it, your vision. Many times that will be reciprocated, which means they're going to endeavor to share with you their vision. And if it's a young person, be very careful in how you respond to that, especially. But if it's someone that is endeavoring to grow in their Christian walk with you, and they're sharing where they're at, they may be sharing some struggles, and you're picking up that their direction, their vision is not quite right. What do? You just, we'll just stomp on that vision. Well, we'll just put the fire out, and let's try to start a new vision. Brother, I think we do well to be careful in stomping vision. But I think we need to learn to listen to that. Listen to that heart and get the heart of the matter. If it needs to be tweaked, tweak the vision. Don't stomp the vision. Don't put the vision out, but tweak it into the right course, the right channel, which comes back to the point of you knowing where you're at and why you're where you're at in that particular area. Because if you don't know where you're at and why you're there, how are you going to inspire a correct choice of direction for that individual? You must know where you're at. You must know your own vision and your heart, where you're going. But be careful as others share their vision with you. But as they share it with you, if there are points in there that are correct, elaborate on them and encourage them. Continue in that. But in that continuance, don't just tell them to keep the vision, but live the vision. Put it into practical everyday life and do it. Another point of inspiring vision is plant vision. And what I mean by that, I alluded to that a little bit already. There are times that I believe that we need to deliberately take an opportunity to plant vision. If a brother or someone is struggling with a particular area in life, and you know it, and they seem to be trying to find a direction, you may have to take time out of your schedule and say, look, tell me your troubles. Hear them out. And then say, look, what about this way? You know, think about it this way. Can you go this direction? Would this fit your cause? Would this help you out? In other words, that deliberate planning of vision. You know, if you plant vision, guess what? You're going to reap vision. But there is a space in between planting and reaping. Looking at that reap what you sow principle. Plant vision, reap vision. But there is a point between those two that I think we fail too many times to recognize. In 1 Corinthians 6, There is a principle I'd like to look at just briefly. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians 3. There is a verse here. This is talking about Paul and Apollos. It says in verse 4, For while one saith, I am Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And as we think of planting vision and reaping vision, I believe the principle here is we are called to plant and reap and water, not grow. God gives the increase. But it seems like so many times when we have a vision, we know where we're going and why we're going where we're going, and we're passionate about it. It seems like we think that everybody else has the same vision and passion we got. But so many times I don't think that's the fact. So as we think about that and we are passionate and inspired about it, and we get up and we share of our heart to the people about it, we just think they just got to get it. What are we called to do? We're called to plant it. But so many times when we get so passionate, they just got to get it. You know, I've been involved in working with people already. It just makes me want to just shake them up. Can't you get it? But you know what? That's where I have to back off and let God grow that vision. I cannot grow that. Only God can. But you know, we can plant those seeds. And we can plant those seeds. And we can continue to plant seeds. And guess what? Your co-pastor, co-minister may come behind you and dump some water on it. That sprout may grow, and he might dump a little more water on it. But guess what? Those nutrients are coming through what I trust the Word of God. Whenever we try to stuff our vision down someone else's throat, they perish. God must give the increase, I believe. So in order to inspire vision, we must allow God to allow it to grow. Never assume because you have a vision, others have the same vision. You look at the Rechabites in Jeremiah 35. You study them. Jonadab, the son of Rechab. Why don't you hear about Rechab hardly? You know, I think that's a principle, but a couple generations later, we have where those children were holding fast to what was taught to them by Jonadab, the son of Rechab, their father. There is a principle here that I think we can learn from. Do you think Jonadab or Rechab was silent about his vision? I don't think so. I don't think he was silent. I believe he taught it. But he not only taught it, he lived it. Do you think Rechab drank wine, had vineyards, planted vineyards, had houses? I don't think so. Why can we assume that? Because his children that were obeying the voice of their father did not. Because I don't think, rare is the individual in a sense, and it is possible by the grace of God. I don't want to exclude that. For those of you, the brother asked about the first and second, third generation. Many of us are. But it is possible by the grace of God to get the vision from the Word of God. Never forget that. As you work and with people that are around us that have not been exposed to the Word of God, it is possible to pass that on to them and inspire them. But it must come from the Word of God and not our own thoughts and actions. I mean, not our own thoughts and ideas. Think about that. As we work with individuals and people, as we endeavor to inspire them on the pathway of holiness, it must come from the Word of God, I believe. When we try to bring our own thoughts and ideas into it, guess what? We mix it up. And guess what? Mixed up church life just don't work. It just mixes life up. So we must plant that vision. I believe that's the same principle that Rechab had for his family. And he passed that on. But the interesting thing is, I understand you don't hardly read about Rechab. Now, as you look back through church history, And this doesn't bode well for us as leaders, as such. But we know of how many good leaders, good preachers, they were on fire and had a vision. But how many times did their families not follow them or parts of them? Now, on the flip side of that, I want you to understand as well, children have a choice to make. You can have the correct vision, you can have the correct direction in life, and your child may choose not to follow you. I understand that. You look at the life of Eli and the life of Samuel. You know, I always find that sad in a sense as I look at that. You know, Samuel come into that time in a proper time to lead Israel because Eli's sons were the sons of Belial. But we also read that Samuel lost his sons in a sense. Why? You know, I don't know if I have answers to that as such. But yet Samuel was a man of God. Brother, tonight I believe the first responsibility we have as leaders is in our families, in our homes, to inspire them on the pathway of holiness. Because if we miss that, and to the third and fourth generation, could that be written of us like it was written of the Rechabites? You know, that's a challenge we face today. But remember, those individuals also have a choice to play. I understand that. Living your vision in reality, in everyday life, is an inspiration to others. As you go through life, as people know that your heart is bent toward God, and you live a godly, consistent Christian life, that is an inspiration. It is. Those looking on can see what you're doing with your vision. Are you just talking about it, or are you just living it? I believe the passing on the inspiration of vision through example is probably one of the greatest ways that you can inspire others. Look at the Rechabites in that sense again. How many generations, and I understand they were all that way. I was talking to a young man at home concerning the message, concerning that inspiring others. And he just point blank told me that if a minister gets up and shares his heart and his vision and his direction in life and doesn't live it, he said, it means absolutely nothing to me. I was like, ooh, ouch. You know, how many times do we do that? We think we've got it figured out. We've got it lined out. We know where we're going. But when it comes to dealing and working with the individuals on an everyday life basis, what do we have? They get a mixed signal and they said, it means nothing to me. That was a young man that told me that. You know, it scares me in a sense. But our young people, if we're to endeavor to inspire vision in them, we must maintain our own vision and live it. Thinking about that, the fulfillment of a vision does not happen by itself, but it must be lived out and put into the practical everyday life. It must be. Why? Because this is what people see. People see that, and people don't just hear it. But when they hear it and see it, it says the same thing. You've got a powerful testimony and a powerful inspiration. Another point, be passionate about your vision for the right. Do people know what your vision is? Do people know what your drive in life is? Do they understand what your heart for them is? Especially as leaders, do your people know how you feel about them, what your heart is toward them? And we're thinking, oh, yeah, I think they do. Let me tell you something. They do. They know where you're at. And they know how you care about them. I had a young man tell me the other day. We were going through some things there at home. And we had a meeting with the brotherhood. And we as leaders, we shared our heart. And I was talking to this young man. My heart hurt for him in a sense. And he just looked at me. Well, we were in a vehicle together just talking. And I know the things that we were discussing, that we were concerned about as leaders, that we were addressing as a problem in a sense. This young man, in a sense, was involved in a part of it. But he just made a comment that went to the core of my heart. He just said, "You know, there's no doubt in my mind." I'm going to say it in my own words. "There's no doubt in my mind that you care for me." You know, as I thought about that, is that what we're really passing on? He could sense that love and that care for him. You know, that just blessed me to no end, because that is my heart. That is my desire and my drive in life. That no matter what issues we deal with in church, that they can still sense that we have a care for their soul. Not care for them. They're not just a number. They're a living soul that's going to eternity somewhere. We can't just take that lightly. But we must be passionate about our vision. Do they know what you're passionate about? I'm going to guess most everyone in your congregation knows what you're passionate about in your material life. Now, what I mean by that is your work, your hobbies, your family, whatever it may be. You could intertwine Jesus Christ in part of that, possibly. But they know if you're passionate about the hobby that you're a part of, that you do. I believe they know that. But are you passionate with the vision of Jesus Christ? Do they know that? Are you passionate about their heart? You care for their heart. In considering that, inspiring vision needs to be about following Christ, not about your own thoughts or ideas. So we consider the conclusion here of inspiring vision in others. It must be your passion in life, your drive and motivation in life needs to be about inspiring others to follow Christ, not to follow a system or yourself or idea. It must be Jesus Christ. If you intend for that vision to go on and continue to grow to what Christ would have it to grow. You know, I don't find anywhere in scriptures that we're called to make disciples of ourselves. We're called to make disciples of Jesus Christ. To inspire that vision for that individual, that young man, or that troubled young lady, whatever it may be, that we are inspiring in them the desire to follow Jesus Christ. Don't just follow me. Don't just do what I say. You can never go wrong with promoting the vision of living for Jesus Christ. You can never go wrong there. But you can go wrong in promoting your own self. As you think about that, be careful in whose vision you follow. Follow results, not words. How many of us have heard a vision or have heard people? They have a vision. They've got this direction in life. And they're passionate about it. But it's not going in the correct direction. And they have a following behind them. We see that out there. They're passionate and they have a following that's coming on. But look at their results. Is it where you want to go? Don't just follow the vision blindly. Don't just follow someone blindly. Because if you're following blindly, guess what? You don't have vision and you're going to end up in the ditch. Follow results of those individuals that have gone on before. I just think of Rechab again. This was a man that had results, yet it's almost a silent character in the Word of God. Seems like many times as you look at family trees and you look at their following, it seems like a lot of times those fathers are almost silent in the family tree. Why is that? But yet the results are amazing. You know, that's blessed me as I look at family trees. And it's not that way in all cases. Please understand that. But I'm thinking of the lineage. Follow results. Don't just follow an individual because of who they are. Follow Jesus Christ. As we think of a vision, I believe, and I talked about vision in our churches, or sitting down with our brethren, writing things out, or discussing our vision. And I believe this is one way we can also develop personal vision. I don't want to necessarily add to the message the brother shared this morning, but this evening. But in thinking about inspiring vision in others, how many of you have a written personal vision mission statement for your family or you as leaders for your congregation? How many of you have that? And I'm going to ask for a raise of hands. But it's something like I'd like for you to think about seriously. As you think about keeping and maintaining your vision, I think it's well for fathers of the home to take time with their spouse and write a written vision, a written mission statement for where you desire your family to go. And if you so desire, have it written in a way that you can frame it and put it on the wall. And as your children grow up, say, look, this is what I have in mind. This is where we need to go in life. This is the end result, the reward of the faithful. Now, as we think about our families, how many of you have a mission statement or a vision statement for your businesses? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands there. But I would probably be, the idea would be there's probably more for our business than are for our homes or churches. Why is that? Or we think about those things more for our businesses than we do for our homes or churches. It concerns me at times as I think about that. Because I'm going to be flat honest with you this evening. I have one written for our business, but I do not have one necessarily written for my home. So I've got a little experience in that. And my wife and I, we have discussed that already. You know, those things. And you can, it's a reference point that you can go back to. And as people read that, I have it on the wall. And as customers come in, they can read that. And I can look at it and say, look, are we living up to that commitment? That statement with that customer. But the thing of it is, as you bring that into our home, the spiritual life, how much more valuable is it than our business? I challenge myself with that. As I think about that, there in Luke, verse 18, is what I have dubbed Jesus' mission statement. It says this way, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Thinking of Jesus' mission statement. And as we are called to inspire vision in others, I believe this is a statement that we can instill and plant over and over again. This is what we're called to do. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we're called to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty them that are bruised, the recovering of sight to the blind. Isn't that what we're here on this earth for? We're here to help each other on this pathway of holiness. So may we all be inspired to continue tweaking our vision for the honor and glory of God. Continue to sharpen it. God, this is where I want to go. That at the end of time, or at the end of life, we can hear those blessed words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Shall we stand for prayer?